I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have my friend and sister in faith, Sister Razia Shamani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my beloved friend.
How do you
and
do?
Sister, alhamdulillah, I'm doing great.
Thank you so very much for being with us
thank
today.
Thank you for having me here.
We're talking about the necessary steps a human being, an individual, has to take pre-pregnancy, which I think all starts with correcting their worldview.
Exactly.
And their opinion toward life and their purpose and objective on this earth.
There's a lot of depression because of the fast pace of life. Everything has to be going so fast and you're always behind your schedule. And this gives you a lot of pressure. It puts you under a lot of pressure and anxiety.
True.
And you lose your peace of mind, right? I'm going to share with you five principles which would help you have a very prosperous and healthy pregnancy process. Can you guess the first one?
Sleep a lot.
Sleep a lot. Why?
Because why not? Because you're already doing such hard work creating a human being in your belly. Just take a day off. Go to bed.
Okay. The first one is timely marriages.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. That was my second guess.
Yeah. So it's been happening a lot that when girls get married, they're like in their 30s, that they just get married. And then they're like 34, 35, 36 that they have the first child, and about 40 when they have the second child.
What if they only want one child?
Usually they, you know, some don't want just one child. And so these people, when they do get pregnant, they, you know, after the age of 30, the risk of a lot of abnormalities becomes higher after the age of 30. And so, especially after the age of 35. And so even if you have a good pregnancy, it will become a longer time for your body to get to adjust itself to the situation of pregnancy. And after that, after childbirth, to get back on the track of, you know, a normal pregnantless system of your body, right? It's something, this is a fact. And why we're saying that, oh my God, childbearing has become so difficult. There are so many morning sicknesses. A lot of these are because of the fact that people are getting married at a late age. I'm not talking about its exceptions, but the younger your body, the fresher your body, the fresher the organs of your body, the easier it is for your body to cope with the new situations like pregnancy and to, after pregnancy, to, you know,
recover.
To recover, exactly. Right. It will also help a lot in the process of childbirth. So in during the pregnancy and childbirth, this is one of the factors, the first principle. The second principle is, as you said, sleeping. Mm. Obviously, by sleeping, I mean something that would enhance the peace of mind in a pregnant woman's life.
Mm.
So peace of mind and having a sense of security in life. As you said, some couples, when they feel that their spousal relationship is problematic, the elders would
recommend,
give you the anti-prescription is that, why don't you have children? Actually, the reason you guys are having a lot of problems and arguments in life is because you don't have any children. And, you know,
when you have a child, you're going to be
so busy.
You wouldn't have time to pick on these mundane, simple, stupid little things.
Exactly. But this is the exact opposite, because when the child is born, a world of new events are happening in a couple's life, in a parent's life. And so in addition to your original spousal, you know, problems, you will have a load of other problems added. So multiplied by two, more stress, more tension, more problems, more aggression, more violence.
Exactly. And it's like a couple who couldn't deal with their smaller problems. How can they deal with such a big problem like raising a child? Or exactly. The problems that come with raising a child, not that raising a child is a problem.
Exactly. So if you want to go through a very healthy and happy and safe pregnancy, you should have your peace of mind. So being too busy with your work, having a lot of stress in your life because, you know, if it's related with your friends, with your family, with your work, with your studies, it has to be eliminated. Number three, selection of nutrients.
Absolutely.
Food.
Yes.
And refinement of your physical body, of the poisons that have been toxics that have been added up in your blood and in your muscles. You have to get rid of it. We're going to talk about how this is possible through special food and no medication. Fourth, in the a good pregnancy, even if you are going to embark on the process of pregnancy, you should have this set of mindset that we just talked about, in which you will have to be happy. You will start the process. It might happen for you and it might not. Right?
All right.
So you might really strive hard to become pregnant, but you will not become pregnant.
Yeah.
And no matter how much money you spend or who, you know, the different gynecologists or surgeons or doctors or specialists you refer, you know, there is going to be no result. Actually, I used to go to a gynecologist that she's like one of the best gynecologists of town, but God hasn't given her them child. And in fact, this is
so ironic.
This is like one of the realities of life that we read in the Quran, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum."
Yep.
And asa
an tuhibbu shay'an
wa huwa sharrun lakum.
Often you'll hate something and it's good for you. Often you love something and it's bad for you. You want to have kids, but God wants something else.
Do you remember we said that some things are tests from God?
Yep.
And that the feeling of contentment, the feeling of submission, to accept, not to be in a state of denial. A couple of days ago, we had guests in our house. They were a family from another city, and my parents had visited them. And they came here to take their 6-year-old son to a neurologist here in Qom. And I was like, I was so, because I didn't know what the story was. And when I asked my parents, they said that when we went to their house, we realized that the child is not acting normal. Mm. And when we said to the parents that, is your child normal? Is everything fine? They said, yeah, everything is fine. Yeah. They were in a state of denial.
Oh, my goodness.
All these years. You know, they had been to psychologist and psychiatrist, and they had prescribed some medicine. They have said that your son has ADHD. He's just hyperactive.
Right?
And then they said, yeah, he's normal, and it's just that the fact that they say he's hyperactive. But then the story was, you know, much beyond that. And what I'm trying to say is that we have to submit. And submitting means that you have to accept. You have to go beyond the phase of denial. And then once you accept the problem, you will try to find solutions for it. Right? So this is the fourth principle, that be happy with the satisfaction of God. Do your best, but then leave everything to the trust of God. And number five, a step further, is that whatever happens for you, I know that it's easier said than done, is that consider everything as beautiful. Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. To be Zainab-like. Which is really, really, really difficult.
It really is.
Lately, especially throughout the coronavirus, There's been this trend among many women I've seen, especially women, that they are they're practicing, especially in social media. A lot of people are doing it. And also among my own relatives, I have my cousins my own age who they've had like a lot of ups and downs in their life in terms of like economical issues. And lately when I was talking to them and they would, you know, they would say, yeah, things are not good. Our economical situations are really terrible.
Like financially, they're struggling?
Yeah, okay. They're struggling. And, you know, because of the air pollution, so many things, there are a lot of diseases. And then the corona was added. Mm. Then when you would talk to them, they would give you like a world of negative energy. I was like, oh, my God, I have to talk to them again. But then recently, they've been practicing to focus on the positive things in their life. All these, there's nothing new happening in their life,
yep.
But they are beginning to shift their attention.
Mm.
Instead of pointing at what I don't have, at this empty half of my cup,
yeah.
They are focusing on the full half of the cup, right? So when this is how the practice goes. This would help a lot to all women, whether pregnant, whether wanting to become pregnant, whether not pregnant, whether they would hate to become pregnant, all of them. So early in the morning when they wake up, they choose a very nice book or a notebook, or you know, they can even do it in their mobiles. They write down 10 blessings that they have been given the previous day, right? So they practice it for 21 days.
Okay.
And then as the days go by, they begin to realize that the blessings and all the na'amat and beautiful bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted them, it is so much beyond counting.
Mm.
And it overrides all the things that they don't have in life. And there's a beautiful verse in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ
And also, لا يغير الله قوماً حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah will not change a people until they change
themselves.
Exactly.
And if you are thankful,
I will increase for you.
And لَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And if you are
ungrateful
verily
my punishment is severe.
Exactly. So it's the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the more you see the blessings, the more you are thankful to other people, and the more you attract themselves to you, and the better your life will become. Right?
You're right, exactly. So again, it's back to that worldview, that perspective we have toward life, that faith we have basically in God, in ourselves, in humanity, in society, in the fact that no matter how bad everything could be and everything that could go wrong did go wrong, there are still so many things to be grateful for. So many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us without us even thinking to ask for it. You know, I didn't even know that I needed this blessing. I mean, if we're going to start about our physical blessings, it would have taken humanity eons to discover the fact that life is easier with 10 fingers, you know? But Allah designed us in the most perfect form with every feature that we could possibly need in order to thrive and to flourish and to become successful and to reach Him. He facilitated us and equipped us with things that we never even knew we needed to survive. And that's just amazing.
This is the dua Arafah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Exactly.
Sallallahu alayhi wa
abdillah. And to be able to instill that into our children, you know, to give them those specs through which they can see the positive in life rather than constantly be those kids, one of those kids that are nagging and belly aching. Let's not raise annoying children, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Until another segment of Muslim Lady, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.